falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I've ever done. Falling in love with Him transformed my life, made me a new creation, and now I rejoice in the fact that He is my Lord and He is my Savior. And because He is, I can get undignified when it comes time to praise and to worship Him, because He is worthy of all the praise and He's worthy of all the glory. I thank God for allowing us to be here this morning, to see all of you here today on this Thanksgiving weekend. Amen. And we know that there are those who are traveling, and we need to keep them lifted up, that God will bring them back safely. Open your Bibles with me to the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to read verse 18 in your hearing, and we'll get right into the message for today. So good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. I know we all had plenty of turkey, ham, brisket, chitlins, chicken, whatever y'all had. Amen. It's time to worship God. I mean, you know, God has been truly gracious. When brothers start calling you, talking about, I hate so much I had to go for a walk on the day after Thanksgiving, praise the Lord. But in our time of thanks, we recognize the goodness of God. And He's good all year long, not just in November. Amen. God is good and worthy of our praise and thanks all the time. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be glory both now and forever. Amen." Bow with me. Father God, we thank You for this day, for Your loving kindness, Your tender mercy, Your grace, Your goodness to us, O Lord, for permitting us to be here in this place of worship, O God. And we acknowledge Your sovereignty, Your majesty, Your glory, O Lord, and we're grateful that You love us, O Lord. Sent Your Son to die for us, raised Him, and now, Lord, we experience the blessing. We experience the benefits of right relationship with You and how You, O God, just continue to show Yourself faithful in so many ways. Thank You for this Lord's Day. Thank You for those that are present this morning. Now, Lord, speak today. I pray that Your word will go forth with power, that You might be heard, O Lord. And through it, O Lord, I pray that lives will be transformed, that we as Your people will be changed for the better. Direct our thoughts. Let us receive Your engrafted word with joy. And, O Lord, if there be any who are outside of the ark of safety, call them unto Yourself. Let them, Lord, devote, let them commit their lives to You for the rest of their lives, O God. We love You, we praise You, we give You glory. In the name of Jesus, let us all say amen. Lift your Bibles with me and repeat after me. This is my Bible, God's holy word, a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I will hide it in my heart that I may not sin against God. Amen. Let's give the Lord some praise, and you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. How to grow wise. I believe one of the greatest misnomers is that people believe that wisdom comes specifically with age. But I want to just say right up front that there are some old folk who lack wisdom. Amen. And somebody even coined that phrase, there's no fool like an old fool. Amen. But throughout human history, philosophers have always believed that if there was one thing a person could acquire that would allow them to get everything else they wanted in life, that one thing was wisdom. That if a person could obtain wisdom, they could obtain anything else they wanted in life. And I will say that there are no, or at least few, self-confessed fools in the world today. Everybody, in their own sense or their own right, believe that they are an expert at life. They believe that some subject related to life, that I'm an expert in that area. So therefore, I lift myself up as being a wise individual. But I came to serve notice this morning that there's only one reliable, one trustworthy, amen, perspective on wisdom, and that is the Word of God. God's Word is the only reliable, trustworthy, dependent source that defines wisdom in a way that every one of us should be able to understand and apply what God is saying related to wisdom. So it is His Word, and if you go with me to the book of James chapter 1, verse 13, it says, verse 3, I'm sorry, and chapter 13, it says, "Who is wise, understanding, and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom." Now, I like to remind y'all sometime, God doesn't ask questions for information. God asks questions to provoke thought. Amen. God already knows the answer, but He wants us to think about it. And then He wants us to provide an answer to the question that He asks. Amen. So it's not for God's benefit that He asks questions. God asks questions for our benefit. Amen. And now in asking the question, God provides divine insight in to whether a person really has wisdom or not. Just by asking the question, God causes us to gain His perspective on whether we have divine wisdom or not. You know, because it causes us to take a look, and it just says, who is wise? And the Hebrews applied a much deeper definition, I should say, to the word wisdom than the Greeks, because the Greeks, they only looked at it as being secular in nature, and through education and through great ability that they had, one became wise. But the Hebrews ascribed, amen, the deeper definition that talks about a person being skillful in how they live life. And we also want to live life skillfully so that we reap the greatest benefit possible from the time that God gives us down here on this earth. And it's one of those that when you look at it, that we have to understand that God is bringing us into a position where we can truly understand what it means to be wise. Now, that was a two-part question God asked. He said, who is wise? And then He talked about who has understanding. Amen. And the Greeks, apply one definition, the Hebrews another. And in the Greek terminology, the word understanding means one who is skillful. Amen. Who is an expert in applying knowledge to ordinary situations. And you can know everything under the sun, you can know everything that's in the Word of God, but if you don't have the capacity to know how to apply it to ordinary life situations, you lack wisdom. Amen. And in other words, God was just simply asking the question, who among you has practical skills and is able to apply them with expertise in everyday life? Right. Amen. Who among you is a specialist in the art of living life from day to day? Wisdom, amen, is defined as the art of living life skillfully to the glory of God. Let me say that again. Wisdom is defined as the art of living life skillfully to the glory of God. Amen. And every believer, every child of God, should want the wisdom that comes from God's word that allows us to live and apply the word of God to everyday situations in our lives. Now, let's look at how we grow wise. I believe there is a very simple prescription in the word of God that tells us if you want to grow in wisdom, that there are four basic things that we as the children of God should do. And the first one is that if you want wisdom, you should pray. You should ask God to bless you. And in James chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Now, the previous verses talks about us persevering through trials. And trials are sent our way to allow us to see our dependency on God. That we really need God in life for everything. But when we see our inadequacy during those times of trials and tribulations, it helps us to understand the very simple truth, and that is that we can't do it by ourselves. If we could do it on our own, we wouldn't need God. But because we can't do it on our own, God allows us some things to come into our lives that demonstrate that we really need him. And we need him more than we sometimes we really want to acknowledge, but we do need God. I do want to make a declaration this morning, and that is that God has wisdom in abundance for everybody who's in here, for everybody that's in the world, really, if you want to know the truth. And all we have to do, if we want wisdom, according to the word of God, is to ask. The scripture says we have not because we what? Ask not. Amen. But if we ask God, he, according to James, gives to all people liberally. Amen. God will give you as much wisdom as you can handle if you just ask for it. Now, it's not going to come just through wishful thinking. You have to ask in faith. The scripture says that person who asks God, let him ask in faith, believing that God is going to do exactly what you've asked him to do without doubting. Because the person who doubts is just like a wave on the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. And if you don't have faith, don't waste your time, because the scripture says, let not that person think that he's going to receive anything from the Lord. Now, what I deduce from a person not asking God for wisdom is they're fearful that they're either going to have to stop doing some things or they're going to have to start doing some things. Because if God bless you with wisdom and understanding, then it means that there's going to be some change required in your life, amen, based on the fact that God enlightens you on what his will is and what he wants you to do. So regardless of how much wisdom we have, every child of God should desire to be wiser. We ought to want to know more and have more in our walk with God. So make it your continual prayer to ask God to give you the wisdom that you need to glorify him in your life from day to day. And we have to do it just simply by asking and then believing God. So prayer is the first part of the prescription if one wants to grow wise. And then secondly, you have to worship God. Amen. in order to truly grow wise, because God does some things in worship that he doesn't do anyplace else. Amen. God shows up in worship where he doesn't show up in other places. So when we look at the book of Proverbs, amen, chapter 9, verse 10, it says, fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Every believer should make it their goal, their objective, to live each day with a worshipful heart. With a heart that is geared for worship, our goal should be that in everything, I want to glorify God as I live my life from day to day. Now, a worshipful heart gives God praise and it gives God glory, amen, for the small things that occur in a person's life on a daily basis. Now, God protects you from an accident when a car runs the light and almost hits you. Now that's the time for thanksgiving and not cussing. Amen. You know, sometimes, you know, before we say, Lord, thank you, we say, you. and we start using those expletives that are not right and we should not be saying in. Amen. And then when you go into a store and the price on the item that you went to purchase, even though it was on sale, is marked down even lower, that's a time for worship as well. You shouldn't walk out telling, ooh, I was so lucky. Luck ain't got nothing to do with this. If God allows you to receive a better price or better, it's a blessing from the Lord. And God deserves the thanks for that blessing, not luck. Amen. We need to tell the Lord, thank you for being so good to me. And then just let me give you one more. You got the promotion on the job, and that's a time sure enough for praise. And not for talking about and telling people, well, you know, I was best qualified anyway. I've seen better qualified folk not get promotions, amen, than those who got them. So if God bless you with it, it's not about your qualification. It's about the goodness of the Lord. And with that, we ought to worship and give God praise. We ought to give him thanks. Now, according to the scripture, we ought to worship God not only in our day-to-day life, but we ought to come to the house of God consistently and worship him. Amen. We should be faithful in attending the worship service at the house of God. Now, Hebrews 10:25 tells us, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another in so much as we see the day approaching. Now, people will use anything as an excuse not to go to worship. And y'all notice I didn't say go to church. Because we come to church to worship God. Amen. So it's not about going to church. It's about coming to worship. We come with a mind and a heart of worship when we come into the house of God. Now, people will use all kinds of excuses, amen, not to come to worship. I'm tired. I'm not even going to ask how many of y'all have used that before. My dog ran away last night. I said, I got to find them before I can go anywhere. But I guarantee you, if you don't find them all day Sunday, when Monday morning comes, you ain't going to call your job and say, I ain't coming. I got to find my dog. But you're going to make your way on to whoever your employer is and go on and do what you got to do. Because you value your job. And we should value our time of worship with God. It will make us wise. I believe I got a witness, Deacon Harris, said, come on. Amen. So as we look at worship, worship is critical. It is a vital part of our lives as believers. When we look back at our ancestors, our forefathers, worship was such an integral part of everything they did. As a matter of fact, it was the main thing they did, because they worked all week looking forward to what? Sunday. So they could come to worship. And I mean, I think about my grandmother and grandfather. On Saturday, it was iron the clothes, get them ready, get everything all pristine, because Sunday was the Lord's day. Grandma cooked dinner on Saturday for Sunday. Is how serious they took the Lord's day. So when we look at this, we as the Church of Jesus Christ today, I know technology has brought us a long way. We need to worship God consistently. And then the third part of that prescription is that we need to receive instruction. And I know that's hard for some of us. We don't like, nope, some people don't like nobody telling them nothing, good or otherwise. But Colossians 1:28, it says, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, we've all heard that saying, an apple a day will keep the doctor away. And I like a good apple, but eating an apple a day won't keep the doctor away. Apples are good for us. Amen. They provide nutrients and other things that are beneficial to the body. But if you really want to mess up a good apple, candy that apple. You know, dip it in that red sugar and then take it out. And that sugar neutralizes the true benefits of having a good apple. Amen. And I said that because I want you to understand, when you mix human wisdom with divine wisdom, you cancel out divine wisdom. And then all you got left is just human, secular wisdom. Amen. You lose the blessing that comes in divine wisdom, that wisdom that God desires for us to receive as a result of studying his word. Now, the more wisdom that we acquire, the more godly we're going to become, the more like Christ we will become. Amen. And the best way for us to receive godly wisdom is through biblical instruction. Now, the writer says, we preach, warning every man, and we teach, warning every man. And whether it is through preaching or teaching that you receive the word of God, it will bless you and create wisdom in you. Biblical instruction is the goal of it, I should say, is to what? To present every man and woman perfect, mature in Christ Jesus. So the more biblical instruction we receive, the more we become like Jesus Christ. Amen. So the better we are, you know, it's going to come through the word of Almighty God. Now, I'll say it like Mother Laura McCormack used to say it. There is something. God is how she said it. God has something in every sermon just for me. She said it might only be one thing, but she would testify sometimes. She said, God has at least one thing in every sermon for me. So biblical instruction is critical. So we should open our hearts, open our minds, and be ready to receive the instruction that comes through the word of God. And that's whether it's at 8:30 on Sunday morning in discipleship, Pastor Trey's teaching, or Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, and Brother Herb is teaching, or if Pastor's teaching. Sunday morning, I may be preaching. Pastor Trey may be preaching. But be open to hear what God is saying to you, because one thing I will say at Christian Charity, we're preaching and teaching the Word of God. We ain't putting up a whole bunch of isms and schisms and all that other crazy stuff. We're talking about God's Word in the women's ministry, in the men's ministry, in the youth ministry, wherever we go within this body, it's about the Word of God. And then last, and I'm going to let y'all go, I know it's Sunday after Thanksgiving. The last one is that we should study the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Every believer should schedule a regular set, established time for personal Bible study. And that is in conjunction with the teaching ministries that are going on within the church. And you do it because in that instance, if you sit down with your Bible and you pray, and you said, "Lord, open my eyes, Holy Spirit, teach me," the Holy Spirit will instruct you. So the instruction that you get in class and in the sermon, the Holy Spirit will truly open it up and allow you to receive and see in to what God want you to know and understand. And let me help you this morning, because we not only, we all need it. Let me put it like that. You need it and I need it. And I love those times when I can just sit down with my Bible and just read. Not preparing for a lesson, not preparing for a message, but just read. And allow the Holy Spirit to speak to my heart. Now, I know somebody's thinking, I can do it on my own. I don't need to come to discipleship. I don't need to come to Bible study. I can get it done on my own. Can I tell you the truth? Wrong. You can't get it done on your own, because you miss out on the input of the dialogue and the contribution that God sends through the voices of other people in that medium when we're all sitting around the table. And said, I love it when Brother Herb said, "It's just table talk." And you know how it is in the family, sitting at the table, we just, you talk about anything. Amen. And you can just be who you are. You ain't got to play like you all super smart and all that stuff. You just say what you say. Amen. And then we take it from there and we deal with it and bring it back into the realm of what's true as it relates to the Word of God. Amen. So we need to be consistent in our personal Bible study. Amen. If we really want to be wise, we need to do that. Growing in wisdom can be summed up simply as growing in Christ's likeness. The Bible tells us that we have all the principles that we need to walk in wisdom. But I just want you to know there is much more that God has for us than those basic tenets of the Word of God that most of us know and understand. God wants us to grow in His grace. He wants us to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that's what Peter said in 2 Peter 3:18. He said, grow, and that means that we are to be what? Conformed to the image of Christ as we go through life on a daily basis, by the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. Now, through all the basic principles given, God, at the time of salvation, instills those in us, but it is ours to increase and allow those to grow through those things that God has given us to do. And that is through prayer, through worship, through instruction, through study of the Word of God. He allows us to increase not only in knowledge and in wisdom, but in godliness. Now, very simple. Pray, worship, listen to biblical instruction, and study. If you do those four things, you will grow in wisdom. You'll become a wise individual. Now, Paul, as he instructed Timothy, told him to stir up the gift of God in him that was placed in him through the teaching of the Word of God, through the model and the example of his mother and his grandmother. Stir up the gift of God and let God use you as his child. Now, just a little story. There was a man named Frederick Henley Page, and he was a pioneer in aviation, and he was flying across Arabia, and he landed in a city to refuel, and while he was there, they added some cargo to his little plane, and the cargo had some food in it. A rat smelled the food and some kind of way made his way on to the plane in the cargo hold. And when the plane took off, Henley was flying high and doing well, and he heard this sickening gnawing in the plane. And he knew it was a rodent of some kind. And in knowing that, his heart began to pound because he could visualize the damage that a rodent could do to the mechanism that controlled the airplane. And so he was about to panic, and he did something that was very miraculous, something that was very amazing. He remembered that in flight school, they taught them that the higher they go, the less rats could breathe. And so he began to go higher and higher, listening to hear the gnawing stop. And finally, he hit an elevation, and he couldn't hear the gnawing any longer in the plane. And so he went on to his next destination. He sat down, and he landed. He opened the door, got out, and looked in the cargo hold. And right behind the cockpit, there was a huge rat lying there dead. Well, many of us have rats gnawing, amen, at our lives. We have the rat of immorality gnawing at our lives. We have the rats of improper language gnawing, amen, at our lives, amen. We have the rats of destruction trying to destroy our families. Amen. We have the rats of secularism and humanism, worldly wisdom, amen, devouring us, trying to cause our spiritual planes to crash. Well, there's something we can do about those rats in our lives. If you want to do something with them, you have to go higher in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to fly higher in your spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ. Increasing your altitude in Christ will kill out all of those rats in your life and help you ward off the schemes of the devil. That takes wisdom to know when Satan is on your track and when he's doing things to keep you from growing in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Well, it is through the power of God that came to every believer when Jesus died on the cross. Amen. So by the transforming power of the Holy Spirit that lives in every child of God, the Holy Spirit neutralizes the impact or the effect of those rats that Satan sends into our lives. Now, because of what Christ has done, all of us can grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But to do that, we have to make a decision to give him control of our lives. We have to make a decision that we are going to allow him to direct our paths. We have to make a decision that we are going to come down and give him the throne of our lives. You see, that takes wisdom to realize that I am on a trail that's leading to nowhere. The Apostle Paul, on the road to Damascus, had papers in his hand that gave him authority to arrest and to take prisoner believers who were worshiping Jesus Christ in Damascus. My Bible says that about noon the sun shined down from heaven and knocked him from his beast, and that he fell down to the ground, and while he was there he heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And wisdom said to him that whoever was speaking was greater than him. And he said, "Lord, who are you?" And he said, "I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. Don't you know that it's hard to kick against the pricks?" And Paul gave it up right there on the road, and he said, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" And Jesus said, "Go on down to Damascus, and there's a street called Straight Street. And when you get there, just wait, and I'm going to have somebody come by and see you." Now, look at this. Paul was probably one of the most brilliant men of that day and time. But Paul had wisdom to understand that God was greater than he is. So he obediently went on down to Damascus, went to a street called Straight Street, and there he waited and fasted without food or water. But God always has someone to instruct us. There was a man named Ananias who came in to the place and called him Brother Saul. And he told him, he said, "God has chosen you to use for his glory." And when he did, he submitted to the authority of Almighty God. And my Bible said that the shackles that were on his eyes that caused him to be blind, that they fell off. And he began to see, and God sent him into the Arabian desert for 3 years to tutor him and get him ready to serve. Wisdom comes through obedience to the voice of God. If you want to grow wise, pray. Worship, receive instruction, study the Word of God. We use wisdom, we need wisdom, I should say, in everything we do. And God is the author, he is the giver of divine wisdom. If you're here today and you need wisdom, first of all, you need a relationship with Jesus Christ. you need to know him as your Lord and Savior. We want to invite you to come. Let me get you to stand with me this morning. If you need the Lord as your personal Savior, we want to invite you to come and give your life to Christ. If you need a church family with which to worship God, a family that's going to love you, that's going to support you, do all the things that family does, Christian Charity is a great place to cast your lot and to use the gift that God has given you. And then once you start down that walk with us, God is going to feed into your life all the knowledge, all the wisdom that you need to honor him every day with your life. So as the prayer team sings this morning, the praise team, I should say, the door of the church is open.